All right, so let's get back to where we was last week. We had a really good class last week. Like I said last week, this book is entitled, anybody need a book? Everybody got a book? Anybody need to borrow a book? Okay, good deal. We covered the introduction last week. We did get to we're in a spiritual battle. I think we got that far. We probably not will get further than that this morning since we get back into this demon thing that we want to talk about. But this book has got the same title as the one from, I don't know if it's Hagen or Copeland, which one of them we studied, but this book, deals with a whole different issue even though it has the same title. And the first two or three chapters a lot because he's showing us where these, if you want to say demonic influences or how people are influenced by the devil that causes issues in our lives and for us to begin to see those traps where we don't fall into them, so easily. And last week, you go ahead and go to Luke chapter 10. That's where we ended last week. But we've seen in Isaiah, we were talking about Satan and Lucifer and all of how he's only left with the power of suggestion. To try to get you to use your words against yourself. That's all he's left with. Jesus took everything else from him. And we've seen that in Isaiah, where he was cast down, and all that. And in Ezekiel, we've seen how he was the anointed cherubim. He was Jesus' personal angel, and how beautiful and all he was. And then we got to Luke, chapter 10, verse 18. We want to see how the devil really has no power and how much power we've been given him. Luke 10:18 says, this is Jesus talking, he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning falling from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So we learned last week that when we have a problem, we know two things, that he's given us power and it can't hurt us. And that's the first two things we have to understand. No matter how dramatic this thing is, it can't hurt us because Jesus said it couldn't. And he's given us power over it. And so our next step would be to find out how to use that power. So go to Colossians chapter 2 and then we'll get back to where we were last week. Colossians 2:15. I want somebody to read it in the NLT in just a second.
Colossians what?
2:15? 2:15, yes, sir. And this is Paul talking about what Jesus did at Calvary. Colossians 2:15. And having spoiled or disarmed and stripped principalities, powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. So, somebody got that in the NLT?
You said, Colossians with a G or Colossians with a C?
I say Colossians, but Pastor says Galatians.
Galatians are what you put on your feet, ain't it?
Yeah. And well, some of that stuff we used to have to eat, they called it goulash, too, so
I don't
In the NLT.
NLT,
go ahead.
In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities to shame them publicly by his victory over them on the cross.
All right. So he stripped everything and openly shamed them. And we had seen this in Isaiah, how God put that fire in Lucifer to burn him out. And that's why he knows he's out of time. That fire is consuming him. And as time goes, he gets less and less and less. So he tries more and more and more to cause more and more problems. But that fire is consuming him, and he's full of fear and pride. That's what drives him. See, but instead of us recognizing that he's scared of us as spiritual believers, we're scared of him, and that empowers him. Because when we do that, and so we started talking about that, and I wanted to show y'all. We got in this a little bit last week about these different powers. And I've been doing some studying this week because I don't really think much about angels and demons and all that kind of stuff. That's the wrong way. Okay, 1, 2, 3. Okay, here we go. And we're going to get into some names of these folks. It says, demons are typically organized. And it says because the scripture, let's read the scripture under we're in a spiritual battle. That way we'll get somewhere today. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Pull on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the deceits and the trickery of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Those are the low-level demons. Against powers. They're the ones that have the influence and the privilege to use it. Against rulers of darkness in this world. And against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. See, those darkness of the world, those are those princes of this age. And then the last one, the wickedness in high places, would be like the prince of Persia you see in the Bible, the prince of Greece. And we're going to look at some of these in here. Because the angels, we're going to see the angels in a minute. All of them have a structure and a rank. And I want you to see this as we get into this first chapter of where this influence in your life and this influence that has influenced other people to say things like, oh, you can't do that. You know, that's a stupid idea. Or those kind of things come from these influences. Why? To try to get you to quit and think it's not possible and walk away from whatever that dream is. So it says Satan's demons are typically organized in a strict hierarchical structure, with the highest ranking being the seven princes of hell: Lucifer, Mammon, Asmodeus, Leviathan, Beelzebub, Satan, and Belial. Associated with the seven deadly sins, other classification includes principalities, the highest leaders, powers or delegated agents, and various ranks of nobility like dukes and marquises. Key hierarchy structures of demonic ranks. The seven princes of hell, we just went through those. Biblical hierarchy, Ephesians 6 says, principalities are the highest elite leaders and rulers. I'm going to show you some names of these guys in just a second. All right. The powers are demons with a delegated authority to spread evil. Rulers of darkness, those who manage worldly darkness, superstition, and ignorance. Boy, we got a lot of influence from that one, don't we? Wicked spirits, spiritual forces of wickedness in high places. Now, I want to say this because I've been thinking about this. This is why we send good people to Washington and then they change. They get up there and they figure out that they can't do anything without getting in the system. And it's these influences here that cause them to get in the fish tank with the rest of everybody else.
Like watching The Devil's Advocate. That movie, The Devil's Advocate. Uh-huh. It kind of reminds me of that, how you go up to the higher places in government with a pure heart, and then it just sucks you into the demonic waves that they have.
Right. If I don't get to it today, we're going to see that just like that prince of Persia, that prince of Greece, we have one of those same princes that is stationed in Washington. We've seen that in that book we studied, you know, that is the ruler over that from the demonic influences. So aristocratic ranks often found in demonology. Demons are categorized as kings, dukes, princes, marquises, presidents, earls, and knights. Other classifications are infernal cabinet. Includes high-ranking officials, I don't know who he is, prime minister, commander-in-chief, and general. The lower devils include imps, spine devils, scouts, and other foot soldiers. Okay? Now, I want to show you this.
Nick, I wanted to go ahead. One more thing, and I figured this was going to come up. You ever read much in the Geneva Bible?
Geneva Bible?
Yeah, it's a, it came out 100 years before the King James.
I need to get me one of them.
And, but it was said that King James had scribes to remove this one scripture in talking about this. So if you read in the Geneva Bible, now it's hard to read because their English don't look like ours.
Right.
But it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, and against worldly governors, the princes of the darknesses of the world, against spiritual wickedness." And then it picks up over the rest of the scripture. Yeah. But in King James, they leave out the worldly governors. Yeah. But it makes sense about what you're saying.
I wonder what that Bible you gave me was Ethiopian Bible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I have to look that up, see what it says. Because we know, and that's when you can't be upset at people. We know like what's going on in Minneapolis, what's going on in Virginia and L.A. You know that those governors and those mayors, that they are influenced by these folks. Now, here's the ones that we deal with every day. Beelzebub, the demon of gluttony. All right? But now, don't just say, I'm glad he said that, because just like when I say prosperity, what's the first thing people think?
Money.
When I say gluttony, what's the first thing people think? Food. But you can glut in pornography and cussing and smoking. Gluttony is taking something to the extreme. You know, that's what it is, taking something to the extreme. Y'all may have to help me with these pronunciations. Asmodeus is the demon of lust. Mammon, greed or wealth. Leviathan is envy. And I don't know if I spelled chaos. No, I was going to text Torch, but I had to spell chaos. Huh? I miss what?
Leviathan.
Leviathan. I don't know if I spelled chaos right or not. Baal-Fesh. Say that.
We know what you mean.
You know what I mean? I'm trying. I'm working hard for y'all. All right, I'm working hard for y'all. Belfeser is the temptation. He's one of the seven, we've seen before, one of the seven leaders, you know. But also, one of the seven princesses. When you see Moabites in the Bible, that's who they're referring to. He's the one that's behind the Moabite tribe that caused. Now we understand when you see that, why Moabites caused Israel so much trouble. They was one constantly, you know, and then after they got into the promised land, it turned into the Philistines in there. Lilith is the night demon. We studied her in that other study. Abaddon, the god of Obeas. Pazuzu is the famine or drought. And Belial is in the Bible. He's the demon of deceit. So we can see these are the ones, and I just picked these out because these are the ones I feel like we deal with every day. You know, and the demon of lust is pressure to do something you know you're not supposed to do. It ain't just about sexuality. It could be any, you know, that lust is the same word as pressure. You know, it puts pressure on you to do something you know you're not supposed to do. And then you do it from the pressure, then you feel bad because you've done it, et cetera, et cetera. That's what he is. So anyway, those are the seven that we deal with on a daily basis.
But even with these, it's just like saying they have to be given the power to do whatever they get saying, or do they...
That's right. These are the ones that come in, and whatever that thought is that you got, they are projecting that thought. See? All right, just like we talked about before, all Satan and all these demons, all they have is the power of suggestion. See, they're going to suggest something, and they're going to see your reaction. Then they're going to suggest, and then we talked about it last week, you know, he's not going to jump out, you know, when you got a headache and try to get you to agree you're having a stroke. He's going to start little, and then he's going to go to high blood pressure. He's going to keep chalking it up till you latch on to something and say, you know, it could be. It could be, see. Then, because he sees that, you know, he sees, you know, your mannerisms, your body, you know. And when I got studying this week, I got to thinking and watching myself this week. And I noticed when I get nervous, I start doing this. My head starts tingling right here. And I thought, oop, I can't let the devil see that. So, you know, so it got me thinking, you know, that we all, that, because he's been around for millions and millions of years, you know. He's seen a lot of people, see. So, So that's what he's looking for, because he's why? He's trying to get us to give him permission without us giving him permission. Does that make sense? That's his whole thing, is to trick you, because you won't go in, you won't end up where he wants you to be right now. For instance, which is called, just saying about Mark of the Beast, you know, nobody's going to come in this class and give anybody 666, right? He can't, nobody will accept that, right? But if he starts way down here with something else and begins little by little, then you'll end up accepting it, you know, just like the country accepted gay marriage. They kept on little, and eventually everybody thought, well, what's the big deal about it? See? But if you went back 15 years before that, nobody would have accepted it. It would not have happened. See, and then that's what he uses. You know, that's a big scale, but it's the same thing in your life. Gets you to thinking about you can't meet your needs. Well, then you get to thinking about it. Then you get to talking about it. Then you get to acting like you can't. And then so what's everything is a seed, remember? So what ends up happening? You can't meet your needs, right? See, and that's why he gets so many people to die off young. You have, you know, the Bible promises 120 years, right? But we got caught up in what Moses asked God in Psalms 90 of why are these people dying at 70, 80 years. So the devil tricked us into people saying, you know, we can only live 70, 80 years. So you hear people in their 40s now saying, what? I'm getting old. See, we're receiving that death little by little. Instead of saying, no, God said I could have 120 years strong and healthy. Moses, his eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated at 120 years old. See? But now let me ask you this. Why has the devil convinced us that we have to be sick to die? Everybody thinks I got to die of something. Where's that at in the Bible? It's a lie. It's a lie. No patriarch in the Bible died from anything. They lived a long age. They got ready to go to heaven. They laid on the bed and gave up the ghost. That's what the Bible says about every one of them. And can you see how that 70, 80 year thing has intertwined into society now, and we begin to think, you know, against the word that I have to have something wrong with me to die. As I get older, something has to go wrong with my body. Why? Where did you get that from? See, we didn't get it, and that's what we want to focus on this for, and you know, and get all these fallacies as much as we can out of our lives. You can live healthy and strong as long as you want to live. That's what the Bible says. It's an individual choice by every one of them. I mean, for instance, this week, and I don't mean to take politics, because it don't matter what side you're on, certain things got to happen. All of a sudden, we have these 7 to 11 Republicans this week started voting with the Democrats. You know? So now the Democrats have the majority, because we have these 7 or 11, whatever it is, started voting with them on all this crazy stuff. You know?
It's about money and control.
You know?
We also need to remember it's very geopolitical, because like November 2025, France's Prime Minister Emmanuel Macron, mm-hmm. they had that big Gate of Darkness parade. I don't know if you heard of it.
Yep.
But they had a big Lilith statue and like a floating altar, mm-hmm. and all sorts of stuff that they were doing. A ball, you know, the big bull or whatever it was. And so it's like so out in the open, and now it's influencing geopolitical mm-hmm. governments.
But that was part of, you know, I don't fool with a lot of prophecy, but I read some when we were doing that book, and that was one of the prophecies about 25 and 24, 25, that these people were going to come out into the open, that the curtain was going to be snatched back, you know, and then you see how perverted, you know, this thing went so fast, you know, boys and girls in the same bathroom, da da da. Well, you know how it went in a 4 or 5 years period. We went from sanity to complete insanity in our governmental system, and strictly because of people yielding to these influences. I don't care if I vote Republican or Democrat. I vote for a person with good morals and a Christian person. That's, you know, there's some places like in Barber County, you're not going to get elected being a Republican. It's just not going to happen. So you'll have to be a Democrat if you're going to get anything, any office in Barber County. You know, so you have to look at that too, that all Republicans are not good and all Democrats are not bad. But that's why the Bible says first things, we pray for these people every day. We pray for the nation. We pray for the president, the vice president. We go on down the list. We pray all the way down to our law enforcement, military. And it goes all the way down. And then why? Corruption starts on the lowest levels and grows through the system, right? In some of these big cities, your police officer and all is where the corruption started and starts, see? And the Bible tells us specifically that those people's job by the Bible is to guard your soul, see? So that's why we pray for them. And they're good moral people. And I say, God, every day, them that won't do right, get them out. Get them out. You know, Brent goes, you know, His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. All right? So then, if we're going to give the devil that much credit, oh, my O and my A is backwards. That's what Tori just sent me a text. Y'all look at her. I'm going to show y'all Tori's text.
That's what they told you about 30 minutes ago.
Oh, did she? 9:51. Yeah. What time is it now? Yeah. I don't pay attention to my phone.
I'm going to teach you about them red lines, too. You'll be able to fix it by yourself, but we'll talk about that later.
Stretch him out right now. He's going to start scratching that head in just a minute.
It's nice to have all these people telling you what to do, ain't it? Well, I had 3 grand youngins and 1 mama spending the night with me last night, so y'all give me a break this morning, all right? It's a little chaotic this morning. I can say it, but I can't spin it. All right. In the Christian tradition, angelic hierarchies are generally divided into 9 choirs or ranks organized into 3-level groupings. Based on their closeness to God as established by the whatever. I don't know whose side that was right. The highest orders are seraphims. Those, we'll see them. I won't tell you about it. Cherubims. Thrones. Followed by the middle orders of dominions, virtues, powers, and the lowest principalities, archangels, and angels. So you can see the heavenly class has some of the same classifications as does the demonic class. The 3 hierarchies of angels, the first and the highest closest to God are seraphims, known as the burning ones. They surround God's throne. If you read that you'll find that in Revelation where they, you know, where they're the ones saying holy, 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 bowing and
in Isaiah 2.
And you're in Isaiah. All right. Blow this up. Then cherubims. Keepers of celestial records and possess profound knowledge of God. See, I didn't know there was a classification called thrones. Angels of pure humility, peace, submission, who carry out God's will. The second hierarchy is the middle. They govern the cosmos. So that would be what the Bible calls the heavens, the stars, all that. Dominions. They regulate the duties of the lower angels and govern the universe. Virtues, known as spirits of motion, they govern nature and work miracles. Powers, warrior angels that fight against evil forces to protect humanity. See, so you're talking about Michael and all those that you see in the Bible fall into here. Then there's one more. The third hierarchy, closest to humanity, these will be the ones that assigned to us. Protectors of nations, cities, and church institutions. Archangels are high-ranking messengers who deliver important messages from God. Angels, the lowest order, closest to humans, serve as personal messengers and guardians. Then the alternative classifications, we won't get into them. That's some Greek and words and all that. So anyway, you can see how closely, because fallen angels... The fallen angels, you know, were in those classes, and you can see parts of every one of those classes that fail. And so that's, I wanted to give you that background this morning. before we got into this lesson, because then we can talk about these individual spirits as we see their influence in our everyday life. But like I said, Satan's job or his goal is to get you to use your own God-given power and authority against yourself, to self-destruct. That's what he does. That's all he can do, see? And that's his job. See, and when we start inventorying our life, we can really see how much of that influence that we've bitten on and taken and absorbed when we look at our lives. All right, so let's read our scripture again. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the deceit and the trickery of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places." Now, after I studied this and I reread this scripture, I had this crazy thought. I wonder which devil is behind that woman that's so slow in the checkout line. That's the one I want to find out. I want to find out his name. And I want to, that one that has to count her pennies and fix her money before she can move.
What if he's standing behind you, though?
If she stands behind me, she ain't got no trouble. Because when I put my step up, I already got my money out. I'm already ready. She tell me what it is. I jam that card, I throw her some cash, and I'm moving on while she's giving me my change. Because I'm ready to get out the door. Most of the time, I got my hair on fire. Anyway, I'm ready to, I need to go.
And, you know what you can do?
Huh?
That's
a good idea. Back to the spoon. I ain't thought of that.
Put that $10 on me and you go take your groceries and fill up the rest of the thing
on
that ticket.
Yeah. There you go. I'm going to do that, Chris. That's the quickest way for me to get out of there. When I see her set her purse down and start doing this, I'm just going to stick my card up there. Yeah.
You must have been praying for some patience. That must be what it is.
That is my constant struggle. I mean, what I struggle with in life is patience.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it don't matter if it's my wife, my young ones, it don't matter. I hate waiting and I hate slow. It just gets on me.
I get aggravated with Dale Weeks because he does 55 miles an hour on our road. Oh, it aggravates me so bad.
See, figure out which demon that is and cast, throw him out. I had to tell myself, I said, hey, they got the same right to the road as I do.
Yeah.
You know? And so it don't help a lot sometimes, but I still try to think that. Yeah. Hey, speaking of that, I don't know. All right. Maybe I'm trying to help y'all if y'all get stopped by one of them new guys. In there. It says here in our first, we're going to get this first paragraph today. It says, God's word reveals that we are not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against demonic powers. Our fight isn't against people, but spiritual forces influencing them. Most of us simply don't recognize the role of the spirit, that the spirit realm plays in what occurs in our daily life. We think it's just human, natural. But the devil is busy influencing people every day. It's useless to debate whether or not an individual is possessed, oppressed, or just depressed. When the New Testament calls someone demon-possessed, the Greek word literally means demonized. They are under the influence and therefore control of the devil. This issue people make about whether someone is possessed, oppressed, depressed, isn't in the scriptures. Now I want to say this. This was a big deal. And I tried to call Lily. Lily's got the first Bible I had, with all the notes. And I try to, as I get through with them, I pass them down. Anyway, I want to get it because in the 80s, it was a big deal. You know, the faith movement was getting started and it was a really big deal and a big debate, especially in the synagogues. Could a Christian be demon possessed? I mean, we had Sunday school lessons on it, and when you look at the word, you're like, how could we have ever got down that road? God ain't partnering with the devil. He ain't moving in the house with the devil. You know, so it was a really big deal in the 70s if a Christian could be demon possessed. So we learned he can be oppressed and be used. And all right, y'all have a good week.